The Psalm 31 and the verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. You will observe that the word hand occurs on two occasions in this psalm. There's the hand of God and there's the hand of the enemies of the people of God. It is not our concern this morning to concentrate on the hands of men, but it is our desire to concentrate on the first part of the verse. And so our text is contained in those six words, my times are in thy hand. Six words, but what profound truths are contained in these words. In the Hebrew, it is only two words, and the order of the sentence is reversed in the Hebrew as well. Literally, it is, in thy hand, my times. In thy hand, my times. That's our message this morning. Our times in God's hand. David writes about the hand of God, and then he writes about what is in God's hand, his times. And that's really the order that we want to look at today. First of all, the hand of God, and then what's in God's hand, our times. The divine hand, thy hand. The word hand is very frequent in the Bible. In actual fact, it occurs around about 1,800 times. About a third of those occasions, the reference is to the literal physical hand of man. But the other two-thirds are used in a metaphorical sense, a figurative sense. And very many of those figurative senses are of the hand of God. The hand of God is frequently referred to in the scripture. It is used of God always in a figurative expression, because God has no bodily parts. He doesn't have a physical hand, as he's pure spirit, as he's God. And so when he speaks of his hand, the divine hand, he's only speaking figuratively. There's an image. There's a picture. And whenever David talks about the hand of God, he doesn't set up a physical image in his hand. Now, he was surrounded by the heathen, and they had idols, and their idols were physical. And sometimes they actually made them with hands. You remember Dagon? He was a god of the Philistines. And you remember he fell down before the Ark of the Covenant, and the hands were cut off. So the hands of the idols are physical. But David doesn't think about anything physical. He's not thinking about anything that has an image in his mind. And we must be very careful to guard against images of God in our mind. He's not picturing God with a literal hand. He is meditating a spiritual truth when he thinks about the hand of God. He does not reduce God to a lifeless physical idol, but he raises his thoughts to God's greatness by considering what the hand is a symbol of. And so what thoughts come into David's mind when he thinks about the divine hand? I think prominent in the thought of the people of God whenever they think about the divine hand is Christ. You can't think of the hand of God without thinking of the mediator, Jesus Christ. And that's where we want to begin this morning. Whenever we think of the hand of God, our mind, our thoughts will directly go to Christ. Christ is the one you see at that hand. He's at the right hand of God. And so you can't meditate the hand of God without meditating the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one preeminently at that hand. And that's where we begin. Because you see, the hand of God is a holy hand. The hand of God is a mighty hand. The hand of God would be a hand that would be against us if it were not for the person at that hand, Jesus Christ. And so you see, child of God, we can never think of the hand of God without thinking of Jesus Christ, because that's a holy hand. And we are an unholy people. We are sinners. That powerful hand, the hand is the symbol of power, you see. The Bible says, strong is the hand of the Lord. Whenever we do anything, we can make powerful devices. We can make powerful engines. And if we do anything powerfully, physically ourselves, it's always the hand that does it. It's the hand that's put to the object. And so the hand makes us think of the power of God. And that's great power. Infinite power. Omnipotence. And that hand, that mighty hand, that which is called in the Bible a heavy hand, that mighty, powerful, heavy, outstretched hand would be against us if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ. We read often of the hand of God in the Bible. For example, in Exodus chapter 3, if you turn to Exodus chapter 3, you will see there the solitary hand of God. In verse 19 of Exodus chapter 3, God says to Moses, "But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand." So here's the Lord instructing Moses, and he's telling Moses, the mightiest hand in the camp of Israel, any earthly sovereign hand would not be able to deliver you out of the hand of the king of Pharaoh. No mighty hand will be able to deliver you, Moses, and your people. But notice verse 20. "But I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go." So here's the solitary hand of God. A mighty hand, a smiting hand, a hand against Egypt, a hand that smote Egypt, a hand that sent the judgments and the plagues, and that slew all the firstborn of that land. A heavy hand Pharaoh found upon Egypt, and it was greater than his hand. And that hand would be against us. A heavy hand against us and our sins. A smiting hand that would smite us as well in our sins, if it were not for the one at that hand that mediates on our behalf, Jesus Christ our Saviour. And so you see, you cannot think of the hand of God, but you immediately think of the one who pacifies that hand and stills that hand and reconciles that hand to us so that it doesn't spite us and it's not heavy against us for all our sins. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and again in verse 15 we read of the hand of the Lord. Indeed, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. Now that's a fearful text. That's a text that could be preached to sinners in the gospel to cause them to flee from the terrors to come, the hand of the Lord against the sinner, the hand of the Lord to destroy the sinner until the sinner is consumed. That hand is a fearful hand, a terrible hand, a hand heavy, a hand that would consume us in our sins. But David does not see that hand against him. It's not against him. He doesn't see it against him. And why does he not see the hand of God against him? Is David not a sinner? Of course he's a sinner. Well, why is this heavy, holy hand not against David? And the answer is, it is not against David. For David has at the right hand of the Father a gracious Lord, Messiah, Jesus Christ his Savior. Jehovah said unto my Lord, David says, sit thou at my right hand. And David knows that right hand cannot be against him, because it's a reconciled hand through his Lord, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And so the hand of God is not against us, but being reconciled to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that hand is for us. It's for us. The divine hand for the people of God. The Lord Jesus is our Savior. To you who know not Christ, how will you deal with the hand of God? To you who neglect the Savior and have no faith in Jesus Christ and have not looked to him with the eye of faith to be the one who reconciles you to the Father, to you who are Christless, how will you deal with the divine hand? How will you face that heavy hand? How will you stand before that holy hand without Jesus Christ? And so, sinner, if you are Christless, this hand is against you. But to us that are saved, and in the Lord Jesus, that hand we are reconciled to, because that hand raised up Christ for us. That hand put our sins upon Christ for us. That hand satisfied the divine justice on our behalf in Christ. That hand was heavy against our Christ. That hand had a sword that should have been wrought and put into our heart, but it was put into Christ's heart on our behalf. That hand, that holy hand, then raised up our Christ, and that hand then put Christ very near to itself at the right hand. The hand is inseparable from Jesus, and we are glad. We are glad. And that's what Paul meant in Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? That hand is for us. That hand has sent Christ. That hand has imputed our sins to Christ. That hand has punished our sin in Christ. That hand has raised up Christ. That hand has enthroned Christ. That hand rests on Christ. It is no more for us a hand of wrath, a heavy hand. It's a light hand, a kind hand, a gracious hand. So I cannot but think of Christ when I think of the hand of God. It is a blessed
and gracious hand.
And thus it is for us an open hand. The hand of God is open for us. Not against us, but it's open for us. We read in the Psalms, "Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good." Nehemiah said, "I told them of my hand, of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." It is for us an upholding hand. Concerning the child of God, it says in the Scriptures, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." And why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So let us think these thoughts whenever we think of that phrase, "thy hand." That hand is not a terror to you, child of God. It is a Father's hand. It is a reconciled hand. It is a hand in Christ. And that's how David sees it. You notice there in verse 5, he speaks again about the hand. In verse 5, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit." He's not afraid to commit his soul into that hand. He's thinking of his death, perhaps. What's he going to do with his soul in his death? "Into thy hand." That gracious hand, that reconciled hand. And why is he able to do that? Because of the redemption in Christ. So, child of God, never think of the hand of God, but you think of Christ. And you'll read of the hand of God very often. But get this into your thinking. And be it part of your interpretation of the Scriptures, when you meet the hand of God in Scripture, never think of the hand of God, but you think of Christ. The one at that hand has pacified it for you. So it is a hand reconciled to you in Jesus Christ. But let us turn our thoughts to the other words now. "In that hand." What doth lie in the hand of God? "My times are in thy hand." Now this is a very personal word for David, isn't it? He says, "my." I like that pronoun in the Scriptures. "I" and "my" and "me." But whenever David says, "my times are in thy hand," I want you to know he doesn't stand alone. He's not alone in this. It's true for every Christian. It's true for you, child of God, this morning. "My times are in thy hand." We can all speak this text. Oh, those of us that are saved. Every Christian can say this. Every Christian should say it. Every crossroads in life, every trial, every trouble, every difficulty, every pain, this is the text to bring to mind. "My times. Where are they? In the hand of mine enemies? In the hand of those that are against me? In the devil's hand? No, my times are in thy hand." And so, that's what you need to know, child of God, this morning. David can say this of his times because he is in God's hand. You see, David knows that he's in God's hand, first of all. He knows that. And because he's in God's hand, he can say, "My times are in God's hand as well." The hand of God is where David is. "In thy hand I am." And child of God, that's true of you. That's true of you. That's why we read John chapter 10, isn't it? That's where the child of God is. In John chapter 10, and the verses 28 and 29, we read, "My Father which hath given them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And then verse 28, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So you see where the child of God is. The child of God is in the hand of Christ. That's where the Christian is. The child of God is also in the hand of the Father. Now, I've drawn attention to this before. There is a difference in the description between 28 and 29. In verse 28, it's, "They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And then verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck," and "them" is in the italics, it's not in the original. "No man is able to pluck out of my Father's hand." So in my mind, the image here is Christ has in his hand his sheep. And Christ and the sheep are in the hand of the Father. Now that's the image I get when I read these texts. We're in double hands. We're in the hand of Christ, in Christ. And then being in Christ, we are in the hand of the Father, joined to Christ. It's a marvellous place. It's a wonderful place. We're in the hand of God, doubly secure. What a place! We are in the divine hand. Not the devil's, not our enemies, not men who abuse us and despise us, not in the hands of troubles and trials that come along to consume us. No, but we are in our Father's hands. He is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand, the Bible says, Psalm 95. And because the believer is in the hand of God, he can say, whatever happens to me, whatever my times have for me, one thing is clear, my times are in thy hand. Now, it would be interesting to know at what stage of life David was when he said this. Was he beginning his manhood? Was he just a young fella looking into the future and saying, my times, as I step out on the stage of life, all my times that are ahead, they're in his hand. Was he just stepping out on the stage of life as he said these words? Or was he near the end of it? Whenever he said, I commit my spirit into thy hand. Was he near the end of it and looking back and surveying all the times that he'd passed, saying, my times in thy hand? Or is he in the midst of some trouble, in the midst of some crossroads in his life, and now saying, my times are in thy hand? I suspect it was the latter. I suspect it was a very hard trial that David now was going through and about to go through even deeper. I suspect it was that. And he strengthened his heart and he encouraged himself in the faith and said, whatever lies ahead in this valley, my times are in thy hand. It's all under the control of my heavenly Father. Perhaps it was at the time of Absalom, his son's rebellion against him. What a troublesome time that was for David. My times in thy hand. But whatever, this text is true for us wherever we are at life. You're a young person, a young believer starting out. Say this. An old believer coming near to the end of the journey, and you can look back. That's where it's all been, in the hand of God. A believer now in trial. A believer now going through the deep waters. A believer now going through the furnace of the fire. Say to yourself, my times, God's hand, that's where it is. At the crossroads. Let us always say this. My times are in thy hand. That gracious hand, that reconciled hand, that loving hand, that fatherly hand, that giving hand, that blessing hand, that guiding hand, that protecting hand, that enclosing hand. Nine times are in it. The best commentary on this text is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And those verses that we read in our reading, the verses 1 to 8 particularly, here we have a description of all kinds of times and seasons. Time to be born, a time to die. Time to plant, a time to be pluck up. Time to kill, time to heal, so on and so forth. Yes, a time to weep. Time to laugh. That's the best commentary on this text. Child of God, you will have all these times. A time to laugh you shall have, but also a time to cry you shall face. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to embrace and a time when it's not seemly to embrace. You'll have all these times. And where are they all? In God's hand. In God's hand. And by that, we mean, of course, lest there be any misunderstanding, by that we mean they are in God's control. They're in God's control. They're under His sovereignty and His power. And they're inside His will. In His hand, you see. There's no outside will enters into that. There's no foreign thing outside the divine will that enters into that. No, it's in His will, in His control, in His sovereignty. It is that hand that is the symbol of sovereign control. What controls all the events in your life? It's that hand. What brings the troubles and trials in that life of yours and mine? The first cause is God. I was reading lately some of the sayings of Rutherford. And he says, it is impossible to be submissive and religiously patient if ye stay your thoughts down among the confused rollings and wheelings of second causes. As, oh, the place, oh, the time, oh, if this had been, this had not followed, so on and so forth. Oh, the linking of this accident with this time and place. Look up to the master motion and the first wheel, the divine will. And that's what we need to do. Things happen in our life. Men hurt us. Sickness comes and trials come, and there are second causes, that's true, wheels of motion all around us. But we need to follow the advice of Rutherford and the advice of our text, not at second hands and third hands, but the first hand. My times are in that. They're in that. And when David's son Absalom turned against him and would have murdered him and overthrown his kingdom, David says, it's in God's hand. And whenever one came out and cursed him, David said, the Lord has told him to do that. It's in God's hands. That's what we need to do. This text needs to be embedded in our minds and hearts. Our times are in the control of God. We sometimes read in the scriptures of a city given into the hand of a king. And what does that mean? That city now is under the control of the king. It's under the sovereignty of the king. There's nothing happens in that city without the king's appointment. And so our times of blessing, our times of prosperity, our times of adversity, our times of change, our times of conflict, our times of sorrows, our time of death, it's in the Father's hand. It's all there. And child of God, we need to know it. We need to be comforted by it, assured by it. We cannot be content without resting in this faith. Whate'er befall me, it's in the appointment of God. It's in thy hand. I want you to observe that the universality of our times are in God's hand. David doesn't say some of my times are in God's hands and others, well, they're just in other people's hands. No, no, no. My times. He means all of my times. He means everything that befalls me, every minute and every hour of the day. It's in God's control. All our times, not one time outside that hand. And then, of course, he's alluding to the mystery of our times, because anything in a hand is concealed. Anything in a hand is usually not visible. We sometimes play games with the child. Guess which hand the object is in, because the hand conceals, the hand mystifies, the hand makes invisible. And our times, the mystery of them. We can't understand our times. We can't understand why this comes and why that comes. It's all concealed to us. It's in his hand, you see. But we do not have to understand the mystery of them all. We do not have to explain the reason why of them all. We just have to know that's where they are. In his sovereign control. And so the psalmist alludes undoubtedly to the mystery of our times and the uncertainty of them as well. David seems to be in his mind saying, well, I don't know what lies ahead. There's an uncertainty about my times. I don't know what's going to happen Absalom here. I don't know if he's going to have his success. I don't know if Saul is going to eventually get me as he pursues me like a partridge upon the tree. I don't know if he's going to have the last word and bring me to death. I don't know. But I know this. It's in God's hand. It is not for you, brethren and sisters, to know the times or the seasons, the Saviour said, which the Father hath put in his own power. It's not for you to know. Except this. It's in his power. It's in his hand, those times and seasons. So our times are not in anybody else's hand. If someone attacks us and annoys us, and they use their hand to do so, they only do so because the sovereign hand allows it for some mysterious purpose. The Lord Jesus knew this. You'll remember that on many occasions men sought to lay hands upon him. But the Lord Jesus said, my time is not yet. We read, for example, in John chapter 7, verse 30, they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. You see, that hour was in the Father's hand. It wasn't in the hands of others. They sought to get him one time and throw him over Nazareth Hill. But he escaped out of their hands. Why? Because his hour wasn't yet come. That hour was in the Father's hand. And whenever the Father opened the hand, that's when the hour was. Now is the hour come, the Lord Jesus said. It's in his control. You remember whenever Pilate had him, he had the audacity to say, do you not know that I power against you to crucify you, to do with you as I please? What an arrogant man. Jesus said, you wouldn't have any power at all if it weren't for my Father's hand. Let us be like Christ. Let's see only one hand in all our troubles, in all our trials, in all our battles. One hand, the sovereign hand, the hand of the Most High, the hand that we are in, our Father's hand. It's a very practical subject, this. When we get the truth of this embedded into our minds and hearts many times, and I trust, child of God, it will be often in your mind and heart. Give thanks to God for all the things that have happened in your life. All things work together for your good. So let us thank God for the times past when He guided us, when we were at a crossroads, and He brought us through, and when we went through the valley and He was with us, and all the things surveying the tapestry of our life behind us, we can see the hand of God in it all. So let's give thanks to the Lord for His gracious hand. Let us trust and rest in that hand too, child of God. Rest in the one that is at that right hand, Jesus. Never see the hand of God as against you. It's a reconciled hand. Never let the devil paint the hand of God as if it is against you. If you're in Christ, that hand is for you. That hand sustains you. That hand has kept you by grace. That hand has preserved you under the gospel. That hand you should rest in and trust in. And don't fear what lies ahead. You can't change tomorrow. You can't make yourself any taller. Don't fear what lies ahead. Rest in a sovereign hand. Rest. Trust. And another thing that we as a people of God need to learn today is contentment. You know, God's people aren't content. They're always wanting to change things. There's a restlessness abroad today. It's in the world, but it's also in the church. This constant activity to change things. Child of God, rest content where God has placed you. Rest content with what God has given you. Be content. I'm not saying that we shouldn't improve ourselves and try to go on in obedience to God and do that. But there certainly should not be a discontented and a covetous spirit. Be content in this truth. I'm a pauper. I'm rich. Whatever. Be content in this. My times are in God's hands. God's hand has made you what you are, kept you what you are, preserved you what you are, and will bring you to glory. So, thankfulness, trust, rest, contentment. Those are the practical applications of such a text as this. My times. Every one of them. In thy hand.